Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
All right, so we're continuing our series, and can I ask that? Right? We talked about a lot of different questions, and we've stated that, hey, life is full of questions. Man, life is just full of silly questions, hard questions. It's just full of questions. And next week, we're going to take a break from that. And man, I hope that you come next week. And not only you, but I hope you invite your friends. I hope you invite your cousins. I hope you invite the strangers on the street and just anyone that you run into, Walmart cashiers, just random people. Invite them out to Battle Royale. We were kind of talking about some of the games that are going to be played, and man, they're going to be legit. You are not going to want to miss it. It's going to be awesome. Man, it's going to be one of the best times of the summer for you. So make sure you are here next week for Battle Royale, all right? So, That was my little plug there. But one of the things that we've been talking about as we're going to continue after that, after next week's Battle Royale, is this whole series of questions that we ask. Because sometimes in faith, like, we feel like, hey, I got all these questions, but I don't know if I should ask that. Like, I feel like that might not be the right thing to ask. Like, we talked about, hey, is it wrong to question or doubt God? Is hell real? And if hell's real, then why would a powerful God send someone there? And so if you missed any of those last weeks, oh man, I encourage you to get online, reality.painesvilleag.com, and man, listen to them, share them with your friends, share them with your parents, because I believe that there are going to be some life-changing sermons coming up, and even tonight, that people are going to start to see things differently, see how God is differently from what they originally thought, and see how God views them differently. Because here's the theme that we have weaved in throughout all of the different weeks is doubt is not toxic to faith. Silence is. Doubt is not toxic to faith. Silence is. And so if we have these questions but we don't ask them, if you got questions like this but you don't ask them, then man, that's what's toxic to your faith. We want you to come here. We want you to ask. We don't always have the answers, I'll be honest, but we want you to ask those questions. And a great way to not only get some answers to the questions but to dive in deeper each week is to show up on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We're going through each series or each sermon, and we're diving in and saying, hey, what does this mean to me personally? What does this really look like to really apply this answer to my life, right? And so, man, I really encourage you to show up on Sunday mornings as we go into that. Tonight, our question is something that's super common that every human that I've ever met has asked this at some point. I've thought this and asked it myself, and it's this statement right here. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to good people? I just don't get it, right? Lauren and I knew this family when we were teenagers in high school. This family, Nino and Giuseppe, these brothers were incredible. They were just awesome. They were the guys that everyone wanted to be with because they were just so cool. When you were with them, you just felt so cool with them. And they were the guys that their family was so welcoming. I tell you what, they were going to change the world. They were just incredible, incredible people. They loved unconditionally. They loved everyone. Every Friday night in Kansas, they would open up their barn. That's what we do in Kansas. We have barns. So they opened up their barn, and we literally almost the entire high school would come out to their land on a Friday night because that was the thing to do. Some of you guys know, like, hey, Friday night, it's time to do whatever, like go to football games, go to parties, go to the movies, whatever. But you know what everybody did in my high school? We went to the Lombardos, Nino and Giuseppe Lombardo. We went to their barn, and we danced. And I'm not talking like, I know this is going to sound really cheesy, like it's like Footloose all over again, like if you've ever seen that movie. It's not something like that, but it is kind of, now that I think about it, kind of silly. But they taught us how to classical dance. So ballroom, salsa, merengue, just all of those types of dances. I mean, we were flipping people. We were doing all sorts of crazy stuff. I know how to swing dance, like legit. It was awesome. These guys were so good at dancing. They went on a cruise this one time with some friends, and the orchestra on on the cruise boat was playing, and they're like, oh, this is a fun swing song. So they got up and just started dancing, and the cruise line hired them on the spot to teach all of the guests that wanted to learn how to dance. They're like, dude, we have to have you guys teach the rest of the guests for the rest of the 7 days that we're out at sea. I mean, they are that legit. So we would go every Friday and hang out with them. And what was cool about them is they accepted the really cool jocks that were like awesome. And then they accepted like the really dorky nerds that were into Star Wars and stuff like that, like me, right? And so all of a sudden they accepted everyone and loved on everyone. And you got to dance with a lot of pretty girls. And so I was always there and it was great. And so we just had a blast. And if anyone was gonna change the world, it was gonna be Nino and Giuseppe. They loved to travel. They loved to share Jesus with everyone. They loved to love on people. And so they were some legit people. And I remember this one time I was at a tennis match, because I played tennis in high school. I was at a tennis match and my tennis coach got this phone call, and all of a sudden I hear her scream, "No!" Really awkward. I'm like, I'm in the middle of a match. Like, could that have waited? And we go over there afterwards and we say, what in the world happened? She goes, Nino and Giuseppe just got in a car accident with their father, and they, all three of them, died. They were 5 minutes away from their house, and they got in a car accident. And all of a sudden, everything that I had thought, everything that I just started questioning, why? If anyone was gonna change the world, it was gonna be Nino and Giuseppe. If anyone could have made a difference in people's lives, it was gonna be them. They're God's biggest tool. Like, I just thought, there's no reason, I can't imagine, why would God let that happen? I didn't understand it. Why would they leave their mom to pick up the pieces and just figure out, what do I do now with my life? And all of a sudden, this horrible questioning and this horrible thing started to come up, and I just started, I couldn't take it. I was like, I just don't understand. Why would God let something so bad happen to such good people? And a lot of times we have questions like that. Where was God in this? Why would God let that happen? Why would God let my parents get divorced? Why would God let this illness happen? Why would God do this? Why would God let this happen? Why do bad things happen? They were a good person. These people were good people. Why would God let that happen? The flip side's also true. Some of us really question with, hey, you know, I thought I was a Christian. You know, I said I loved Jesus, and I thought I was going after God, but I'm still struggling with the sin. I still struggle with this bad stuff. I still, you know, I thought I was a good person, but I'm still struggling with these dirty thoughts. I still look online at things I shouldn't be looking at. I still self-harm, and I still have suicidal thoughts or depression, and I still deal with this stuff. I thought I was a good person. Maybe I'm not really a Christian because I still deal with this bad stuff. Maybe that's not really for me. Maybe I'm not really going to heaven. Maybe because I'm still dealing with it. I thought if I loved Jesus that everything was going to be rosy. Why am I still dealing with this? Why do I still have these questions, these doubts? This sin issue, this anger, this rebellion, man, this bitterness, whatever it might be, why? And so we deal with that question as well. And so all of a sudden we start looking at these questions, and we start forming this question in a lot of different ways. And you can start seeing this formed in a lot of different ways, but when you narrow it down and when you kind of individually look through the lens of what this is we start to wonder, why would an all-powerful God let something bad happen to good people? But the question really isn't that. It stems from this. It stems from this, why is suffering here? Why do I have to suffer? How am I supposed to deal with suffering? How am I supposed to deal with this pain that I all of a sudden have? How am I supposed to deal with this issue of guilt that I all of a sudden have? How am I supposed to deal with this suffering that I'm having? I don't understand. What am I supposed to do? And so we come up with all these answers. If I'm dealing with this, then it must mean that, you know, God has either set the world in motion and turned his back, and so he doesn't even know what's going on. Or maybe God and Satan are duking it out, and God just lost this one. Like, Satan just beat him in this, and that's what happened. Or maybe God really doesn't care. Or maybe I'm really not a Christian if I'm still dealing with this. And we come up with our own conclusions to this answer of, how do I deal with this suffering? And which leads us to ask that, why do these bad things happen to me or happen to other people, good people? Why do bad things happen to these good people? But the question always goes back to, how do I deal with the suffering? The how do I deal, or why do bad things happen to good people stems from the how do I deal with suffering? How do I deal with this bad stuff? And that's why I ask these questions, because I don't understand how do I deal with all this bad stuff. And here's the thing, you know, I quote John 10:10 a lot. And for those of you who don't know, Alex, could you just stand up and just showcase the shirt? That's what John 10:10 is on our shirt, right? Jesus came so that we can live life abundantly. Live life full, right? That's John 10:10. You can sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Great little model. Awesome. You are so great. As I tie my shoe. I quote John 10:10, Jesus came that we can live life full. But the thing that I don't quote a lot is that's the back half of the verse. The front half of the verse says something different. It says, Satan has come to steal. Satan has come to kill. Satan's come to destroy. Satan has come to distract us from this vision that Jesus has for us to live life full. It even says over in 1 Peter that he is like this roaring lion just prowling around seeking who he can devour. Looking around saying, who am I going to devour? How can I distract them from the call of God on their life? And so we see that these bad things are happening on earth, right? Because this isn't heaven. Bad things aren't going to happen in heaven. Bad things happen here on earth. And this is why we talked about it a little bit last week of the whole choices between heaven and hell, right? We have choices. God gave us a free will. Guess what? If there's a choice between God, that means that there has to be an opposite, and that means that there's an evil. And so evil is prevalent on earth. We see that in Genesis about how evil entered, and all of a sudden we see that bad things happened to good people, Adam and Eve, because evil was present, because evil happens on earth, because all of a sudden we see that in John 16, verse 33, and you can write this in your notes here. It says this, in this world, Jesus makes a promise here, in this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble, but take heart, for I, Jesus, have overcome the world. In this world, you will have trouble. There will be suffering. Bad things will happen. And you're saying, well, why? I don't understand. Why? That doesn't make sense. If bad things happen, there should be a way of getting around it. Not until we get to heaven. Because here's the reason. Bad things happen because we have an enemy. Some of you guys need to realize that bad things happen because we have an enemy. It says that he's seeking to steal our joy, to kill us in the desire that God has placed in our heart, to destroy God's call on our life. Satan wants to do anything and everything to get to us, to get to you, to stop you from being everything that God created you to be. So when you ask, why do bad things happen to good people? It's because we have an enemy that's out for your soul. That's heavy, I know. Super, super heavy. But the reality is it's true. And this question is hard to wrestle with. Its question is hard because a lot of people ask it that don't even believe in God. Why do bad things happen to good people? And they come up with the excuse of, well, it's just life. No, it's not just life. Don't chop it up to, oh, it's just life. Because God wants us to live life full and abundantly and everything that he created us for. But it's because we have an enemy of our souls. It's because we have the Satan that wants to come after us and distract us and deter us and stop us. So, how do we deal? It goes back to that question. How do we deal with suffering? How do we deal when bad things do happen to us? Because the reality and the fact is bad things will happen. If nothing bad has happened to you yet, I hate to break it to you, at some point in your life, something bad will probably happen to you. Happen to somebody around you. Because you have an enemy that's wanting to take you out. And so how do we deal with things when bad things happen? Because Jesus even said, you will have trouble. right? And so I want to look at a pretty common Bible story. In fact, I've even preached about it several times. And so you might say, I think I've heard this before. You haven't. Don't worry. It's okay. But this is a pretty common Bible story that Jesus, it's about him and his disciples. And we find that Jesus just got done with this amazing, incredible service. It's like, you know, we just got done with our best night of the week, Wednesday night service. And everyone's like, oh my goodness, Jesus is so awesome. Right, you just got back from camp. You're like, oh, go, Jesus. Oh, my gosh, this is so cool. God did so many cool things. Or you just got off a missions trip, or you came back from convention or something, and you're just like, God is so awesome. Right, and so Jesus just had one of those amazing services. He just fed 5,000 people. The disciples just saw this incredible miracle. Jesus was like, holla, right? And everyone's like, woo, doing the wave. Woo, this is awesome, right? It was incredible. Awesome, awesome service. And then we see what Jesus does next. Most of us think that, hey, Jesus would get in this boat with his disciples. Hi, high five, high five, high five. Dude, you're awesome out there. No, you were awesome. No, that was incredible. That was so cool, right? But Jesus doesn't do that. We'll see in Matthew 14, verse 22, we'll catch up with this right here. It says this, immediately, so right after the service was done, right after he fed all the 5,000, did all that, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. I want to pause right there for a second. I think this is really powerful, because here's the thing. If the only time that you make space to meet with Jesus is at Wednesday night service or Sunday night, or camp, or on a mission trip, if the only time that you make space to meet with Jesus, you are missing the point of a relationship with Jesus, of a relationship with God. If the only time that you make space to show up for Jesus is on Wednesday nights, you're like, well, I'll talk to him on Wednesday night. Pastor Donnie always prays, and we do worship, so I'll just talk to him then, right? If that's the only time that you wait around for a touch from God, you're missing out on what it means to have a relationship with God. Because we all of a sudden see that Jesus sent his disciples on, and he went up on a mountainside to pray alone by himself, because he was modeling what a relationship with God should look like. That it's not about just these public times, but we need to take what we learn in these public times where people are around us and make it private. How do we apply this to our private time with God? We need to say, God, you know, these amazing events with everyone else is incredible. How do I apply that to my private time with you? This should fuel us for our private relationship with Christ. I heard a pastor say something that, man, I just thought was awesome. It was so good, I just wanted to slap him. It was like, oh, that was good, right? And he said this, being around the things of God can never substitute being alone with God. Whew, that was good. Being around the things of God, showing up to church, good thing. Showing up on Wednesday night, great thing. Going to camp, incredible thing. Going on a missions trip, amazing thing. But being around the things of God can never substitute that personal alone time that you spend with God. If you don't have a personal alone time that you spend with God every day or every other day, man, I'm telling you, you're missing the point of what it means to follow after Jesus. You're missing the point of what it means to have a relationship with him. That's why we provide devotionals for you for every day of the month. Because, man, we see something as valuable in building your relationship with God. Being around the things of God can never substitute being alone with God. Don't just think because you show up means that you're going to turn up with Christ. So here's the thing. Jesus understood the power of getting alone with God even after an amazing miracle. We're going to follow it up in verse 24 here, and you can follow along on the screen. It says this, and the boat was already a considerable distance away from the land, and catch this, beaten by the waves because the wind was against it. Beaten by the waves because the wind was against it. Okay, so the disciples, basically what this is saying is it's painting the picture. The disciples were in a storm. They were in this boat in a storm. They're in this boat in the storm. And here's the thing. All they did was obey Jesus. All they did was obey Jesus, and now they're in a storm. Now they're in trouble. You ever feel like that? God, all I'm doing is obeying you. You told me to get in the boat and go. I got in the boat. Now I'm in the middle of a storm. I'm taking on water. I'm going to get a little seasick here. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out. I think the boat's going down. All I did was obey you. God, all I did was change my life around for you, and all of a sudden, you know, I thought this was where you were wanting me to go, right? The question is this: will you obey Jesus even if that leads you into a storm? Will you obey Jesus even if that leads you into a storm? When he says go, will you obey him and go even if that means you're going to go into a possible storm? You're going to go into some trouble. You're going to have some people that might not always like you. You're going to go and face some things that might make you feel really uncomfortable, and you won't understand why they're happening to you, and you'll have more and more questions. Will you obey Jesus even if it means that you're going to go into a storm? Here's a question for you. Has anyone ever lost their cell phone? Like, or been without their phone for any length of time? Like, it drives me up the wall. If I misplace my phone for, like, an afternoon, I'm going crazy. Like, I'm searching over everything. I'm like, where is it? I know it's in here. I know you're in here. Where are you? Like, I go crazy if I misplace my phone. Like, it drives me up the wall. So one time a couple years ago, Lauren and Obadiah was like 2 years old back then, and so Obadiah was learning to be a little more independent, and he's learning what a big boy does, and big boys help mommy, and so he's helping mommy, and mommy's cleaning, and so he's like, hey, I can clean, and so he's cleaning, and then all of a sudden he goes, oh, hey, mommy's phone needs to be cleaned, and so he goes to the sink, and he turns on the water and proceeds to clean mommy's phone. And no amount of rice or any other trick in the book could get that phone to come back. It's like, thank you, son. And so because the town that we lived in didn't have a Verizon store, we had to send it in, and they were going to ship it back to us. And so Lauren was just waiting and waiting. If you've ever been around somebody that doesn't have a phone, it's like, okay, no, you can't borrow my phone. No, get your own. I don't have my, just let me touch it. I just want to hold it. Just can't put it up to my face. I don't even have to make a call, right? And so it's like phone withdrawal, serious stuff, right? And so there's this just waiting and waiting. Days go by. And you check on like FedEx.com, like, is it coming yet? No, it still hasn't. Is it coming yet? No, my goodness. And then it finally says the beautiful words, in transit. Oh, yay, look. And then some even say out for delivery. Oh, it's coming, right? It's going to be here. It's almost here. I've been going without, and it's almost here. I can't wait. I want to let you know, sometimes, some of you right now, when you're in the middle of a storm, you're like, where is it? Where's the breakthrough? Man, I feel like God has called me to get out of this depression, out of this addiction, out of this habit that I'm always doing of rebelling, of talking back to my parents, of dissing my siblings. Where is it? Where's the breakthrough? And your breakthrough and your delivery is in transit. It is right along the way. It's coming right at you. And God wants you to know that you cannot lose hope. Man, stay connected. Stay true. Don't give up yet, because your miracle is in transit, and it's out for delivery, and it's coming to you. Do not lose hope. Because we see here, sometimes we say, God, I obeyed you, and all of a sudden, I'm out in this storm. So the question is, are you willing to obey Jesus, even if that means you're going to face a storm? I started thinking about that. People start saying, man, you don't understand my life. You don't know how hard it's been. You know, people have asked me to stop taking Sundays off, or you know, because, you know, I got church stuff. And, man, that's so hard, right? It's so hard to fight against my workplace to get Sundays off and some stuff like that. I'm always thinking, you know what? I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Like, they're told to bow down and to worship something else, and these guys refused, and they got thrown in a fiery pit. Like, you want to talk about a bad day, right? I got sunburned a little bit yesterday on our beach day. This is like a whole different type of burn. Like, it's like not good, right? And so all of a sudden we see that they obeyed God, and it led them into a fiery pit, into a storm. You think about Daniel, right? Daniel was praying. They said, stop praying. He said, I'm not going to stop praying. You better stop praying. No. You know what? We got a bunch of little kitties. They're really hungry. And they threw them into a den full of hungry lions. That's crazy. Just because he was praying. Just because he was praying. He got thrown into this dungeon of lions all of a sudden. He obeyed, simply wanted to have a communication and a relationship with God, and he got led into a storm. You think about Job, man. It says in the first chapter, this man was blameless, meaning if anyone was good, it was him. He was as good as it gets. Like, he was the good good, right? Super good. He was a goody good good. Goody good. Two shoes, right? He was so good. And all of a sudden, in a matter of hours, in one day, a servant comes up. Hey, your children have been murdered and slaughtered. What? Another servant comes up in another hour. Hey, guess what? All of your livestock have been stolen. What? And like just time after time, all day long. Talk about a really bad day. People just say, oh, I've just had a horrible day. Like, you have had no bad day until you have a bad day like Job had. It's crazy, right? And all of a sudden, he not only did that, but he even had like health issues and sores and all this stuff. He had a horrible time, but he was the goodest. That's not a word, by the way. People in English don't use that in a paper. Of them all, he was so good, and yet he trusted God, and it led into a storm. You know why? It even says at the beginning of Job, it talks about Satan says, you know what? He's so good. God, man, you throw anything his way and he's going to fall. There's no way that he wants a relationship with you because it's all based upon how good he is. Everyone knows it's just, you're just blessing him because he's so good. God's like, no, I'm not. I'm not just blessing him because he's so good. I'm blessing him because he has a relationship with me. You want to prove it? All right. And so all of a sudden, guess why a bad thing happened? Because he had an enemy, Satan. Satan wanted to prove that your relationship with God doesn't mean squat. Satan wants to do anything to distract you from your relationship with God, to prove to everyone else, guess what? You know what? They might love God, but it doesn't. It's just a fake. Because we have an enemy that wants to ruin our testimony. In the middle of those people's storms, they were waiting for a breakthrough. Because we see that Jesus showed up with Rack, Shack, and Benny in the middle of this flaming fire. And he saved them. We see that all of a sudden those lions' mouths were shut. And Daniel made it through the night. All of a sudden we see that Job, by the end of his life, was blessed twofold. It was blessed so much more so than what he had even originally had, because he didn't lose heart. He didn't lose faith. You want to talk about another person that had a bad day, a point of following God to the point of crucifixion. Now you want to talk about an awkward moment. You're following God all the way to death. Jesus Christ said, you know what, I'm going to obey God knowing it's going to lead me into a horrible, horrible storm, but it's worth it because my relationship with him is so much more, because I know what he's going to do in and through me to save humanity. What is God doing in and through you in the middle of your storm? Will we obey God even if that leads us into some storms? Verse 25 says this, shortly before dawn. See, they were going through a storm for a little bit. They were wrestling through that storm through a long time. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they cried, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, I love this. It's like, when he says this, I just picture like a superhero all of a sudden. It's like, da-da-da, take courage, it is I, do not fear. It's like, what? Like, all of a sudden, like, Jesus, it was like, oh my goodness, it's gonna get worse. I feel like Captain America just showed up. It's just like, take courage, it is I, do not fear, young citizen. Right? I'm like, what on earth is happening? And like, if I was the disciples, it'd be like, that's great. Could you do something about the crazy storm? Right? Like, we're still sinking. Like, the water's still coming into the boat. I'm still in the middle of this storm. Take courage. Do not fear. It is I. Yeah, that's okay, Jesus. Thanks. That's really helpful. Right? But see, we need to catch this as a generation. we need to catch this, and it's been going on for a long time, but we need to catch this. It's so often we want our circumstances to change before we obey the command. But see, God and Jesus in that moment said something different. He said, obey the command and watch your circumstances change. See, we want it the other way around. Well, if God really loved me, I wouldn't have to deal with this, and then I could follow after what he wanted. But no, he's saying, Jesus showed up and said, take courage. Don't be afraid. Do not fear. Take courage. That was his command that he gives to us in the middle of our storms, in the middle of life that's so confusing and frustrating, in the middle of circumstances why we don't understand, why is this still happening? Why am I still making these dumb decisions? Or why is God allowing this to happen in my family? In the middle of these storms, he's saying, take courage. We need to start taking courage. We need to start being loud about our faith, being loud about what our God is doing to us. If the world can be loud about sin, we need to be loud about salvation. If the world can be loud about all their issues and all this stuff, and hey, you know, we're so great and you need to appreciate us, we need to start being loud about a Savior who loves us unconditionally, who has a plan to prosper us, who has a plan for us, and has set us here for a reason. We need to start taking some courage. We need to start taking some courage. Courage is defined as this. It's the ability to do something even when it frightens you. It's the ability to do something even when it frightens you. So when the storms of life try to distract us and bring us under and sink us, we need to get loud. We need to get loud and say, you know what, storm? You know what issue? You know what health issue? You know what addiction? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. When Satan tries to come at you and say, you know what, you're not really saved. You know, you made that prayer a long time ago. You're not really saved. Do you really think you're going to heaven? You know, you need to start telling him, you know what? Yet to all who receive him and call on his name, it is accounted to them righteousness. We need to start saying, you know what? My God is for me, not against me. And when Satan starts to come at us and starts to say, you know what? Your past is too great. You're too much of a mistake. How could you ever be used by God? How could you ever be doing anything that's incredible for Jesus? You need to start saying, you know what? There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ. That Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. You guys need to start talking some smack to your enemy. You need to start talking some smack back at him, because I tell you what, you start to see throughout the Bible in the middle of these storms, people start talking some smack. David and Goliath, you know, Goliath's like, who are you that you come at me like a little dog, right? I don't know why Goliath all of a sudden had that accent, but you start talking like this and Goliath's all like chomping at David, and David goes, you know what, you come at me with all that stuff all up there, you got your updo, right? But you know what I come at you with? I come at you with the name of the Lord, right? And all of a sudden, we start to see some smackdown happen. You know, Satan showed up to Jesus and was like, hey, you know what? Maybe you should just bow down to me. Hey, why don't you turn that stuff into bread? Why don't you do this? And Jesus starts quoting scripture after scripture. He says, don't you test me. Don't you test the Lord our God. Don't you test this. You can't handle this. Right? And all of a sudden, we need to start realizing that we need to go after God. And we need to start talking a little bit of smack. And what do we use to talk smack on? We use the Word of God. We use His scripture. We start saying, God, you know what? Even in the middle of this storm, I believe that you are using me and you are working in me and through me. And I'm not going to let this hold me down. Verse 28, it says this. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And in one word, the power of the gospel is summed up. That one word is Jesus' reply. Come. All right, come here. Because that's Jesus' reply to each and every soul on this planet. Come here. Come here. I want you. Come here. I want to have a relationship with you. Come here. Come. And so all of a sudden, we start to see that Jesus wants us. And in the middle of this storm, Peter said, man, if that's really you, I want to be where you are. And see, religion says this. Religion will say you need to behave. You need to get your act together. You need to get all that junk dealt with. You can't be coming and saying you're a Christian and coming to Christ when you're in the middle of a storm. No, no, you can come and walk out on the water when you deal with the storm. When the storm is calm, then you can walk out on the water. But you got too much to deal with right now because you got a lot of issues. You're in the middle of the storm. You got to get yourself together. The religion says you better behave before you can belong. But Jesus says, no, 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 you belong before you ever behave. You belong in the middle of the storm. You belong to me. In the middle of your hardest part in your life, your biggest frustration, the thing that causes you to doubt me most, in the middle of that, I want you to know that I am here and I'm telling you, come out here. You belong to me. And some of you need to realize that you belong to Jesus tonight. Some of you need to realize that guess what? Jesus is saying, come here to me. Come, come. I want you. I want to have a relationship with you. So when it comes to bad things and storms that happen in our life, and we're saying, God, I don't understand why this is happening, we can say, you know what, Jesus, in the middle of the storm, I'm looking to you and I'm coming to you, because it's safer to be out of the boat and in Jesus' arms than it is to be in a sinking boat just trying to survive. Just trying to make things right. Just trying to do it on my own. Just trying to get everything together. Just trying to make myself be perfect. Man, I've walked that road. And I continue to fight against that whole perfectionism. I just got to be the perfect person. I just got to get everything right. I got to look right. I got to be right. I got to do everything right. I got to do this, do this, do this. Man, if this happens, if I'm perfect, maybe then God will bless me. Please. I belong to Jesus before I ever behaved, because Jesus saw me in the middle of my storm and he walked out to me. He walked out to me and said, you know what? I want to be a part of your life. Come here. I want to be a part of your life. See, here's the thing. The reality is we won't always understand why the storms come, and often we can't even prepare for it, because all we did was obey Jesus and we just got in the boat and we went out and something bad happened. All I did was I was obeying you, God. I don't understand why all this bad stuff happened to me. You can see all throughout Scripture, man, in the biggest moments of faith, the stories that stir our faith the most, they're in the middle of a storm, and they say, I trust Jesus. All odds are bet against them. I trust Jesus. Everything is coming against them. You know what? I trust God. He is the one that's never going to leave me nor forsake me. I trust him. God, I want to be where you are. And so tonight, when we have these questions of why do bad things happen to good people, we realize that there's an enemy. And we need to start talking some smack against our enemy. And we need to say, you know what, enemy? I'm going after God. I want to be where he is. And that is our cry. That God, in the middle of my storm, I want to be where you are. Where no one else in their right mind would want to be. Man, no one would want to be where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. I would not want to be in a fiery pit. No one's like, hey, sign me up. I want to do that. Right? No one's like, hey, I'll be like Daniel. I'll be in the lion's den. Hey, I'll be like Job. I'll lose all my family and everything I hold dear to me. And all my friends are backstabbers and giving me horrible advice. Yeah, I want that. But through those moments, we see that God does something incredible. And 2,000 and over 2,000 years later, we're talking about them saying, man, why not have faith like that? So in your moments of frustration, in your moments of trouble, in your moments of storms, realize that God is wanting to move in you and through you so that 2,000 years from now, should the Lord tarry, people are looking back at your life and saying, man, I want to have faith like Graham had faith. I want to have faith like Alyssa had faith. I want to have faith like Pristine had faith. I want to have faith like Caleb had faith. I want to have faith like that, man. All odds were against them, but in that moment of when trouble came, they turned to God. And that doesn't just happen because all of a sudden you're just like, oh, this is a bad moment. What am I supposed to do? Oh, I'm supposed to turn to God. That's right. No, it happens because you have this relationship with God that's growing. It happens because you have this relationship with God because you realize that these public events you want to make private with God as well. You want to pursue him with everything. So tonight, man, wherever you're at in your relationship with God, would you make a commitment to say, God, I'm going all in and all out for you. I want to pursue you in the middle of every storm that I face, in the middle of every circumstance that I don't understand. God, I want to pursue you because that's all that that matters. That's all that I care about. I want to be like Peter and say, God, if that's you, I want to be where you are, where no one in their right mind wants to be. I want to be where you are. I want to walk on water. I want to be with you in the middle of the storm, through the troubles, through the addictions, through the self-harm, through the suicidal thoughts, through the pornography, through all of these issues. God, I want to be with you, and I trust you completely, and that you take me as I am, that I don't have to try to clean myself up just to get to you. God, that you want to take me right now in the middle of my storm, right now. Let's pray.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.